I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Brad, thank you very much for joining us. Whereabouts in the world are you joining us from?
Thanks for having me on the show. I'm joining from Andorra at the moment. That's where I live during the season. So, just got over about 10 minutes ago. So I quickly jumped in the shower and just made it in time.
For us on OMG MotoGP, showered and ready.
Sorry for missing out yesterday.
Now then, Andorra, is there room for all you motorbike racers on Andorra anymore?
To be honest, it's really cool to have it. The entire paddock is here pretty much. There's a whole lot of guys from, Dakar, motocross, enduro, rally car. Like, there's people from all sorts of different sports. And it's really so cool because you have so many like-minded people around. So it's always people to train with, and it's a lot of fun.
Wasn't something that I was even going to go to in this conversation, but seeing as that's where you are, let's talk about early life. I mean, obviously, you're in Andorra now, you're training with the top-level sportsmen and all the rest of it, but how did it all start back in South Africa, if I can go back to it? I mean, for me, a country that's full of great motorcycle racers, some very well-known, some not so well-known, but for you, how did it kick off?
Well, for me, racing in South Africa actually all started because of my brother. He wanted to race karting, but he wanted to do karting. And I actually wanted to race motocross. So my dad bought me a motocross bike and my brother got a go-kart. And the first thing we did was we went to go ride, try out Darren's go-kart. Then I ended up getting one too. And we started racing that in our South African series. I ended up doing a good 4 or 5 years in karting before I raced bikes full time, but we always used to switch in between and just decide I liked bikes better by the time I got to about 12 years old, and that's pretty much where we've been ever since.
Sounds like you've done a bit of prep, really. MotoGP world champion and then moving into Formula One.
but that would be super cool for sure, I still drive go-karts now and then for fun, but definitely not at the level I am on a motorbike.
You've kind of come a traditional route, haven't you, through motocross and then into rookies, which you spent sort of quite a long time, actually, 3 years in rookies, I think it was, and then into Moto3, successful in Moto3, successful in Moto2, but you seem to have found a real home in MotoGP. It seems to, the evolution of Brad Binder has been in parallel, really, with a MotoGP bike. It seems to work for you.
Look, I mean, it all started for me in Red Bull MotoGP Rookies Cup. Did the 3 years there. After that, I managed to get a ride in Moto3. So that's pretty much where it all began. Started to find my way there in the smaller classes. And I must say, I'm really enjoying MotoGP a whole lot more than the previous two classes. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I love my team. I have the most incredible team around me. The bike's working really well. It seems to get better every year. I feel like I'm improving myself every year too. So I feel like there's still a long way to go. I feel like we haven't seen our best yet, and I'm looking forward to seeing hopefully what we can manage now in 2024.
You jumped forward a bit for me there, but I'm going to stick with it because last year in testing, right at the beginning of the year, everybody went, oh, KTM, they're all at sea, it's not working, the testing looked terrible, it didn't come out very well at all, you know, times weren't good, everybody, I don't know whether anyone was unhappy back at, but we didn't know what was going on in the media. And we're quite often fooled by test programs and what you guys are trying to achieve in the early part of the season. And then all of a sudden, bang, KTM are straight back on it. What was all that about? What was going on at the beginning of last year?
Well, the beginning of last year for us was really tricky, to be honest, purely because 2022 our bike was very stable. We barely changed anything. There wasn't really any updates or anything that came during the season. But the second we got to the 23, we got a brand new bike, new aero, new, well, a little bit different engine. Everything was so new and so different. And the setup we started using was on another planet compared to what we're used to. So it took so much time to really settle in, figure out all these things, and really start to take advantage of the new package. And yeah, I think the first time we really saw that it was competitive was Jack in Portimao. The first race already, it was super fast. And yeah, that gave us a lot of confidence, because for sure, leaving that test, we were still very unsure of where we were. And all of a sudden, we made a good step. Just before the first race, they brought us a small update. And all of a sudden, we had, well, our biggest negative was a lot less. So it made our life a lot better. And all of a sudden, we were on pace.
There's a lot of so-called know-it-alls that lost a lot of money betting away from KTM last year, because you guys came good very, very quickly, that's for sure. What about this year then? How did let's talk about testing so far this year. Are you where you want to be this year? You weren't last year. Are you where you want to be? Is it a good? Have you got a good default package that's ready to go in 24?
Well, for me, the thing that's so crazy is the step that my guys have made is great. It's the first time I walked away from a test since I've been in MotoGP, really knowing that we've improved every area a little bit. Like the bike stops a bit better, it accelerates better, tiny bit more grip. The bike engine seems a little bit better, but clearly everyone's made a step. So, you know, it's like we were a little bit, maybe half a step from where we needed to be. And it looks like we've kind of stayed where we were almost, and everything's just shifted. But yeah, I honestly, we weren't bad at all. Qatar and Sepang are probably our two worst tracks for KTM. And we weren't bad. So, you know, I think I definitely didn't put in the best, fastest lap I could have. I had yellow flags on both my laps. So there's a couple tenths at least in the pocket there, which would have pushed us quite a lot further up the order. I did a full race simulation. The bike handled really well throughout. You know, I think the team have done a great job. I feel good on the bike. And now the big question mark is, let's see where we are when it comes to racing.
Jack and you, I would imagine, will be hellishly good fun down the pub. But as teammates in competition, how does that dynamic work in the garage? I mean, you seem like two very strong characters. I wonder how that might conflict. Do you look at his data? Does he look at your data? Or do you go across to the Gas team and have a little nose of what they're doing? Or is it everybody working together from the two teams?
Well, I mean, firstly, Jack's a really good mate of mine. I think, you know, obviously coming from Australia and me, South Africa, I think we have a lot in common. I think things work very similar in the two, even though they're so far apart. But it seems like South Africans, Australians, things seem to click. So, yeah, I've always gone really well with him. It's awesome sharing a box with him. He's really such a cool guy, and we have a lot of fun for sure. But of course, we're constantly checking data between everybody. It's not just, it's basically open for all. So between Gas and KTM, there's always something to learn from every rider. So we check through all the data. We check which corner, you know, each rider is doing well, where we can improve, where our weak points are. And it's just the best way to have it, to be honest, because it really just keeps things going forward for us.
Pedro Acosta, he's had a few people that have looked over their shoulder back at him as he's developed through his career at the moment. I mean, you guys now have seen what he's like on a MotoGP bike. Has it surprised you that he's pretty much got straight on with that bike? I mean, are you thinking to yourself, there might be able to as all motorbike racers do, learn a little bit off of everybody. Is there anything he's doing particularly that's interesting you?
Yeah, I mean, we all knew when he was coming, and he was coming fast. I mean, there's no denying that Pedro is an unbelievable talent, and you know, his resume in just such a short time in the World Championship, he has been unreal. You know, the guy's super fast. He works really hard. And it's clear, you know, I saw already in Valencia, when we had all just finished the race weekend, he jumped on for the first day and was only 1.2 seconds off first. So, you know, it's really impressive. Like, I know myself, making a step to MotoGP is not easy. But as soon as you understand it and you make that click with the bike, it's, you know, you can go fast and you can run with the top boys. So I expect nothing less from him. And I'm sure he's going to be really strong.
There's a lot of bells and whistles on a MotoGP bike nowadays, and the switch up from Moto2. I mean, the thing that impressed me, I suppose, with Acosta and yourself when you got on the thing is how quickly you have to adapt to the technical side of things with that motorcycle. I mean, how do you go about that?
To be honest, that was probably one of the things that was most difficult for me to understand at the beginning. You know, if you got to a track and everything was set up well, it was more or less easier weekend. You know, if the engine brake was working well, the power levels were good, the TC or everything was working well. But it was when you got to a track where things weren't really working so well and you didn't really know how to fix them or what you were feeling. And that's when it was a lot more challenging. So, of course, that's one of the dynamics that come with MotoGP. But at the same time, it's not rocket science. You know, as a rider, it's stuff that you feel. And with a little bit of time and a little bit of experience, you start to really understand what you need, and you can exploit every area of the bike that you have available to really just try and improve.
Obviously, crew chief team have a lot to do with deciphering a rider's way of relaying each and everything that you want or expect from the bike. I mean, how does that work nowadays? Is it layers of technical? Or are you still relying on one crew chief to try and work out the situation that you want at each track?
Well, I mean, nowadays in MotoGP, for me myself, who I work with directly is obviously my crew chief. And then my crew chief, he makes the final call, of course, and decides what he wants to do. But there's so many different areas that we have, you know, people that are the best in this area, that area, and the next. So there's a meeting every night where, you know, we all the guys get together, all the crew chiefs, all of like the guys that do the you know, the electronics, the engine guys, the suspension guys, they're all in the same meeting, and they all just go over the day and as you know, what worked for one guy, what worked for the other. And the way they have it is, I think it's such a massive group effort nowadays to try and get fast. And it's incredible to see how everybody really just has elevated things to the next level.
You seem to me to be able to make a bike work late on in a race. Obviously, that's going to have something to do with the way you've set the bike up as well. But your riding style, even how do you manage to make it look so aggressive and yet obviously smooth enough to keep tyres and the like keep them in? I mean, is this something that you set the bike up towards, or is that all down to you? I mean, do you like a lot of electronics, or are you the kind of guy that likes to have it so that you can use your right hand a bit more?
Well, I think it's really changed, to be honest, over the years. We've had so many different situations and different ways where we have sometimes we've had so much TC that the bike can't spin if it wants to, but then in the recent times, we've had it super free that it feels like you don't have any. So it's just really a finding a balance and see what works for you. But, you know, of course, nowadays, I feel like everything's a lot more free and a lot more in the rider's hand than what it has been the last couple of years, for me at least. And that's where you can really see those big improvements on new tires. And then in the race, it's all about managing the throttle, managing the spin, making sure you don't overspin, don't destroy the edge. It's you're consistently trying to change things and adapt. But the biggest learning curve for me was not to destroy your rear tire, and I'm still working on it, because as a KTM are harder on tires than the other manufacturers. But I've got a good idea of how to save them now, and it's really worked to my benefit a few races I see.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Where do you reckon the KTM is good, as in performance-wise? Where's the special that comes out with the KTM? There's every mark seems to have its something about it that just makes it that bit nicer. You know, M1 Yamahas, everyone reckons the front end is beautiful on them. You know, some give a bit more traction. Ducati seems to do everything at the moment. Obviously, KTM and Aprilia are not far off of that point because everything is within thousands of a second now. I mean, where does the KTM work? Where do you really like it?
It's hard to say, honestly, one real standout point. If I had to go back a few years, it was the braking of the KTM was insane. Like, it was our standout feature by a mile. But nowadays, things are so close that there's really not one aspect that we are super good in or much better than the others, but there's also not one that we're much weaker. So it's hard to say what our strongest point is. But if I had to really pick one, I would say like long corners where you don't really need to rely on too much rear grip is where our bike, you can really try and carry good corner speed and make up time. So that's one point I've always found that has worked for our bike really well, especially in the second half of last year.
I mean, it's a busy old, you know, when you get to a racetrack nowadays with the amount of things that the pressure that's on teams and riders to get everything done in the time scale they've got, do you ever get a chance to go and have a look at what other people are doing, what other riders are doing at any time? Is there any, you know, do you look at other riders' videos from the week before perhaps to try and see what their bike are doing or what their style is doing for them? Do you ever get that kind of opportunity? Bit of a school day?
Well, you know, that's a massive part of your job as a rider to pretty much, you know, if you can get a video of the guy who's on pole and you see he's doing something different or, you know, running a different line, picking the bike up earlier or braking later in a point. If you can just see any of these small points, it's easy for us to understand where you need to go faster. So that's, we have guys in our team that's what they do. They study everything. They see, you know, what other teams are doing well, what other riders are doing, and they try to see what we do. And we try to obviously see where we're losing and how we can improve.
KTM, for me, has always seemed to be bordering on harsh when it comes to the tolerance of somebody not performing quite right. I'm going back perhaps to the Zarco situation back in the day when he basically decided to walk away in 2019, and KTM weren't too slow in opening the door for and letting him go. I mean, is it an what kind of environment is it in KTM? I mean, is it one that really demands performance from every single one of you and their test riders? You haven't got bad test riders, by the way, either, have you? They've been pretty damn fast.
It's clear we have the fastest test riders in the paddock. I have no doubt about that. With Danny and Paul, I mean, both of them could be on the podium of any MotoGP weekend. So it's crazy to have guys like that are testing the bike, and everything you get has already been improved by them. So that's always great. But I mean, of course, KTM are a massive company. They put massive amounts of effort into their MotoGP program, and they're there to win. They want to win. And, you know, I think they expect the same from us. They really look after us in the way that All of our training is really monitored well. Our fitness, make sure everything's done properly. Our nutrition's done well. We have, a physio that travels with us just to make sure we get everything good and we don't have any issues. So they put in such massive effort, and they, of course, they expect the same from the riders. So, of course, they want happy people, and everybody there needs to have the same mindset going forward.
As a South African, I would guess a very proud South African, are you a little bit nerdy? Do you look back at some of the guys that have come before you? Yeah, I'm talking about Redmond back in the black and white days, and Ballington obviously later on, and even the Petersons. I mean, I go back quite a long way to South Africa races. Russell Wood, I remember there's a fella called Russell Wood that was really quick back in the day as well in national series there. I mean... Are you really proud to be flying the flag? Is that side of things important to you?
It really is. I'm an incredibly proud South African. There's no place in the world to me like South Africa. For me, it's not just the place that I call home, but just the people there and the way things work is, I just really love it, of course. But I mean, I suppose everybody loves home, but, yeah, when I look back at, like all the guys I just mentioned, there's nothing better than sitting down with them and listening to their stories. Because I tell you, MotoGP has changed over the years. Not just MotoGP, but racing in general. Their stories of pulling up with their camper, not sure if their bikes are going to be there. Like, I've heard some crazy ones, and it makes me very grateful to be in this era of racing.
It seems that there are more and more people that are drifting to your shores from over here lately. Congratulations, by the way, on your marriage in December.
Thank you very much.
That's another very big deal that you've got out of the way there. And of course, a good friend of mine, Ben Atkins, is your mechanic, Mark, that works. Obviously, he's married to Ben's daughter. So it's a very close-knit fraternity that you seem to be building around you at the moment.
For sure.
What are your expectations this year? We all know that you want to win a world title. That goes without saying, so we won't even go there. But, I mean, what's the kind of minimum that you're looking for this year in this what is going to be a massively long season?
Look, I believe that myself and KTM together, we have the opportunity to do something great. I believe that last season was an incredibly hard one. I made a ton of mistakes and I crashed a lot, and we still finished fourth in the world championship. And I know there's areas that could have been better, and I know if we can improve these small areas, we're going to be a hell of a lot closer. So from my side, I've done everything in my power to start the season more ready, fitter, stronger, ready to make the long haul, of course, now with the 20 whatever races we have a season. And my team, I feel like they've been doing the same. You never know where you are until you line up for the race, of course, but I honestly believe that this is my opportunity. This is my year to show what I can achieve and what myself and KTM are capable of. And fingers crossed we get it right.
Testing is testing, I think, is the phrase that we all say. Racing obviously comes much higher up the list. But this coming year, we've got concessions that may bring Yamaha and Honda back into the fray. Obviously, all eyes are on Ducati, as the majority of the grid is filled with Ducatis, Aprilia, yourselves at KTM. But Yamaha and Honda, I mean, just a quick throwaway. Do you believe the concessions will assist them to bring them back up to some kind of speed this year? Are you even bothered about it, or do you not even think about what other manufacturers are doing as a rider?
To be honest, I've put in little or no thought at all into it. Obviously, it's got nothing to do with me and it doesn't change my life at all. But, I think in one way, I think it's cool, because it's not nice to see big manufacturers like Honda and Yamaha struggling the way they are. And not just that, their riders that are on their bikes are a lot better than what they've been showing. So I know from being a rider in that situation at times in my career, it's never cool. It's never fun. So, I think it's a great way, if it works, of course, to try and get all the manufacturers on a more similar level. And I think it's just going to make for better racing.
Certainly from our point of view as fans and broadcasters, it's a benefit to see everybody on it. Mark Marquez, I've got to ask you, and Mark Marquez obviously to Ducati, okay, so it's a so-called last year's bike and so on. Does that add a little bit of spice from your point of view? I mean, obviously, I understand that you're focusing on your own product and the way that you're moving forwards, but having a little bit of Mark Marquez somewhere in the back of your mind, does that sparkle you just a little bit? Does that make you feel like, oh yeah, we've got Mark back on the right bike now? Does that bring something to the game?
To be honest, much like the concessions, I haven't put too much thought into it. But to me, it's really cool. I think, you know, Mark has had a rough couple seasons for sure. And for him to have an opportunity on one of the Ducatis, which is clearly being, they're all super strong, I think is going to be great for him. I think it's going to be good for him as a rider and, good for the sports in general because he has such a massive following and people want to see Mark do really well again.
Infrastructure-wise, as far as your family's concerned, I mean, you know, like Jack Miller, his mum and dad go to Grand Prix, your mum and dad go to Grand Prix sometimes. In fact, I think I met them in Austria. I was with a fellow called Julian Ryder, a commentator that I was working with back in the day. And I must say that they seemed, I think your dad was doing a deal with Derek Crutchlow at the time on some old motorbikes that we were about to be shit somewhere.
Yeah, that
somehow
definitely
everybody's
makes
connected
sense.
In MotoGP, aren't they?
Yeah. Look, I mean, as you know very well, the paddock's small and everybody becomes friends after being there for a few years. So my dad loves to come and watch me, of course, but I think he also likes to catch up with everyone else too.
Is it a tough year? Do you get worn out? Yeah, last year was a long year. I mean, barring injury, leaving that to one side for the moment. I mean, and you've had your fair share of injuries over the years. Does it wear you out? Do you get to a point in the season where you think, God, another set of races that I've got to cover, or is it all? I just want to get on the motorbike and I want to do the business.
Honestly, for me, it's not something I worry about. It's not something that I really think about. I live in Europe, well now in Andorra, to come away from home for an entire year to come and race motorbikes. And that's what I want to do. And that's what I have been doing since I was 12 years old, pretty much living in Europe. So, you know, for me, the more you race, the better. But of course, for the people that go home every weekend, it's maybe a different story. But, I really enjoy it. I love racing. I'm not much of a tester, to be honest. I'm not much of a guy that likes practices or qualifyings, but when you get into the thick of it in racing, that's what I love and that's what I enjoy. So for me, the more racing, the better.
Brad Binder, MotoGP world champion. That would sit quite nicely in the South African team.
Look, I mean... nowadays in South Africa, it's incredible. We've got so many great sportsmen. You know, the Springboks have done so well. We have guys winning in UFC. There's world champions all over the show. So I'd love to add my name to that list.
You'll almost be common.
Yeah, there you go.
Everyone here on OMG, MotoGP, and of course, everyone that's listening and watching at the moment will be wishing you well, Brad. And we really appreciate you for giving up the time today to speak to us. And we wish you absolutely the best of luck this year. Keep it on the tarmac. And who knows what you and KTM are going to achieve this year.
Fingers crossed. Thank you so much for having me on the show. And I'm looking forward to catching you guys soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.